But we're going to be looking today at two different things. First of all, we're going to take a few moments and look at what God has to offer you. And I'm going to be talking primarily to the youth today, and I realize a lot of our youth are downstairs. So if you have a youth that's downstairs, you need to get a CD copy of this and give it to them. In fact, if you know of youth anywhere in our church or other churches, you need to give them a copy of this message, because a lot of times youth don't think they have anything to offer the church or to offer God. And that's just not right at all. But we're going to look at what God has to offer to the youth, and then we're going to look at what the youth has to offer to God. And let me give you an example right up front to let you know the youth definitely do have a very important place in God's heart. If you read the Bible, you run into a man by the name, very young man, by the name of Daniel. Remember Daniel? He influenced the entire nation for God as a young man. Also, his three counterparts, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, also stood firm with Daniel as young men in enemy territory, having to stand up and say, yes, we believe in God. We don't care what you do to us. We're going to believe our God no matter what happens. Folks, that is setting an example, isn't it? That's living for God. And we see the influence that they had on the king and on the nation. And you can look at Joseph, another great example that God used Joseph to completely save a nation. Now, Joseph, by the time he got to where he was saving the nation, was up in years. But guess what? He started living for God when he was a young man. And that's why his brothers hated him. And that's why he got sold into captivity. And that's why he eventually got thrown into prison, because they tried to accuse him of something he did not do. But he stood firm in his belief of God, and God brought him through that and used him. And then there's Timothy. Timothy started pastoring a church back when Christianity was young and new when he was young. And we're going to be looking at him a little more in detail in a few minutes. But it doesn't take long to find out that young people have a very special place in God's heart. And they need to know that. And fortunately for me, God started working with me at a young age and showed me eventually that I had something to offer. And one of the first things that happened in my life that really got my attention, that I was special to God. And you say, oh, I've heard people say, you can't say you're special to God. Yes, I am. He died for me. How much more special can I get than that? But one of the very first things that happened to me was when I was 17 years old, I started going to a Free Will Baptist church in Fort Smith called Faith Free Will Baptist. And Mom's here today, and I'm glad she's here. I was raised in a Southern Baptist church, and when I started going to that church, of course, Mom and Dad didn't know much about Free Will Baptist at that time. And they sat me down one day and said, we think you're being brainwashed. Of course, now she knows that Free Will Baptist people are normal people. You know, what you don't know, you're kind of leery of, aren't you? But I always found that humorous. But anyway, I started going to that church, and it was a church of about 75 people. About 50 of them were young people. You don't see that much anymore, do you? And when I say young people, I'm talking about teenage kids, youth. We were very active in the church. Well, we were the majority of the church, weren't we? And we did a lot of things. We were very active in the church. We did a lot of things in the church. And one thing that was key, and I shared this yesterday, and I really hope our youth here pick up on this. One thing that is key to having a strong youth group and having strong youth in the youth group is to get together frequently for Bible study and for fun. You know, we as adults call it fellowship. As youth, it's called fun. We would get together two or three nights a week at one of the kids' house, Danny, that really built that entire youth group. We would get together at his house and his two brothers, and we would study the Bible, we would play football, we'd go work on the cars, we'd go just do all sorts of stuff, we'd go on trips. And to tell you how active the youth was in that church, and I can remember this just as vividly as if it was yesterday. We were getting ready to do something, and I don't remember exactly what the event was, but we were all in a room talking about doing something, and somebody said, well, don't we need to ask the youth director if we can do that? Now, I had been going to this church for 5 or 6 months, and I looked at him and said, We've got a youth director? I didn't know we had a youth director. The youth had that kind of initiative and that kind of leadership that they worked with the youth director, but I didn't know it. I thought they were the leaders. And youth, it's okay if you take on the initiative. You're not going to get a no from me. I like to see our youth take initiative and take on the leadership and do some things. And out of that experience, and that was an amazing experience, out of that church that I know of came five preachers, came several very strong Sunday school teachers and lay people, and some of those young people have gone on and done some amazing things. And I'll share more with that about with you at the end. But I want our youth to know up front, you do have something very special to offer to God. Don't ever doubt that one bit. Now, I want to get into the message this morning and look at what God has to offer you. And folks, this is an amazing thing. When you look at what God has to offer, not only the youth, this applies to us as adults, and I hope we take it that way. But God has great things planned for us. Over in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17, Peter says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that ye know these things before." Now let's stop right there for a second. Seeing ye know what things? Well, if you go back and read Peter, he tells them how to live a strong, godly Christian life. He tells them about the promises of God. He tells them about the hope of the future life that we have with God in heaven. In other words, he's saying, since you know how to live like a Christian, and since you know what being a Christian is all about, beware, or be on guard, be alert, lest you also being led away with the error of the wicked. Now stop right there for a second. Folks, we can be led away with the error of the wicked if we are not on guard. So young people and adults, we have to constantly be on guard because there are people out there trying to trip us up and cause us to fall. In fact, we see that the people Peter was writing to here were very steadfast, as he said, that you being led away from the error of the, or with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. So he's talking to people that were rock solid in the gospel of Jesus Christ and in their relationship, but he's saying you can also fall away if you're not on guard. So we have to be watching. But verse 18, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." That's the key right there to not falling away. I want us to look at something here. Peter is not only encouraging us not to fall away or to be led away, but he is encouraging us to grow. You will not grow spiritually by accident. You have to be proactive to grow spiritually. What do I mean by proactive? You have to put some things into motion, and we're going to be talking about some of those, but you can't just sit around and expect to grow spiritually by accident. It will not happen. It may happen for a little while, just like a child when they're born, they may grow for a little while, but if you don't feed them and nourish them and take care of them, they're going to wither away and they're going to die. So we have to be proactive to grow. And he tells us two very specific things here to grow in. Number one, he says to grow in grace. And that word grace is becoming a word that I am falling in love with more and more and more. Folks, we were saved by grace. But most of us don't know what grace is. It's very important that we understand grace. Grace is the favor of God, the supernatural, special, divine favor of God. In other words, we didn't deserve it, but God showed favor upon us and gave us the things that we did not deserve. And if you go in and look at that word favor, it says that it is grace manifested. In other words, when God wants to show favor upon you, everybody around you is going to be able to see his favor upon you. Remember when the children of Israel were over in Egypt and the Egyptians were going through all the plagues and you looked over in the land of Goshen and the plagues were not affecting them? That's grace. That's favor. God wants that same kind of favor and that same kind of grace upon us. And I shared with everybody yesterday, and this was one of those things that God gave me just as I was preaching. The Bible says that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from God. So if it's good or if it's perfect, it's from God. If it's not good and if it's not perfect, it did not come from God. Let me throw something out here. I haven't heard this here at Centerpoint, but I've heard other Christians say it. A lot of times people will say, well, God made me sick to teach me something. God doesn't make you sick. That's not a good gift. That's not a perfect gift. That's not a God of love. Would you make your own kids sick to teach them something? Would you feed them rat poison to teach them not to eat rat poison? No. Then don't accuse God of that, okay? I'm sorry, that's one of my little pet peeves. I hear people accusing my father of being mean and cruel and evil, and he's not. He's love. But he wants to shed his favor upon us, and he wants us to grow in his grace. And I don't know about you, but I want to get more of God's favor, and we do that by growing in grace. And you know, especially teenagers know how to grow in anything. I told him yesterday when I was a teenager, I was hooked up to a life-saving device called the refrigerator. That's how we grow spiritually also. We act like we can't get enough. And Mom's here, she can vouch for this. I used to get up from the table and head straight to the refrigerator, and it was about 4 steps. And she would say, you can't possibly be hungry. And I said, I am still hungry. We need to act that way in our Christian life, don't we? We need to act like we cannot get enough and have a desire for God that cannot be satisfied. And then we will grow. He also tells us to grow in knowledge. Now, knowledge in this verse simply means to get a good, solid, basic foundation of the understanding of Jesus Christ. There's no other kind of knowledge that is more important than that. And you learn about Jesus Christ the same way you learn about anything else. You study. The Bible tells us to study to show ourselves approved. It's going to take work to grow. It's going to take work to increase our knowledge of Jesus Christ. But I'm getting ready to astound some of you. And you may even want to write this down, because first time I did the math on this, it was an astounding thing to me. Here's how easy it is to grow in knowledge. If you will set aside just 15 minutes a day, 15 quality minutes a day. Everybody here has 15 minutes. Everybody here, including myself, we all waste much more than 15 minutes a day. So you can come up with 15 quality minutes a day. If you spend 15 minutes a day studying the Word, every week that is 1 hour and 45 minutes. Now that doesn't sound like a lot, does it? But if you do that for a whole year, that's 5,460 minutes. 5,460 minutes. And if you put that into hours, that means you will have studied over 91 hours a year. With just 15 minutes a day. Can you imagine how much you would grow in your knowledge of Jesus Christ and of God and of the Word if you studied 91 hours? And if you do that over a 10-year period, it's 910 hours of study. But it's only 15 minutes. See how easy that is? But the problem is, it's also easy not to do. We get so distracted. We could take 15 minutes a day and study and make it productive and start growing in God's grace and start growing in God's knowledge and start becoming deeper in the Word of God. But it's so easy not to do. is why we don't do it. But if you'll just simply give God 15 minutes a day, you will grow. And so that's God's plan for you. He wants you to have a good life. He wants you to grow in grace and knowledge. He wants you to draw close to Him. He wants you to become so close to Him that people can literally look at you and say, they've been with Jesus. Now I want us to look at what you have to offer. And like I said at the very beginning, you have something very special to offer to the church and to God. When Paul was writing to Timothy, and I've already told you, Timothy was a very young pastor, and he was pastoring back when Christianity was new, so he didn't really have a whole lot of learning that he could do from other people because Christianity hadn't been around that long. But Paul told him, said, let no man despise thy youth. Now, we need to stop right there. And again, we don't see this here at Centerpoint, and I am so thankful. And if I ever see it, I'll come unglued. But folks, there are people out there that actually tell youth, young people, that they have no reason, no purpose to be involved in the church. They have every reason to be involved in the church. You find a church that doesn't have active youth, you'll find a dead, dying church. But in any church where the youth are growing, when they're active and where they're participating in the church, you'll see an alive, growing church. And I praise the Lord that we do help our youth to be involved here in many ways. And we're going to look at some of those in a minute. But young people, even if it's outside of this church, don't let anybody, whoever they are, despise your youth. Do not let them look down on you for doing the things that you are doing. In fact, Paul goes on and says, instead of letting them despise you, be thou an example of all of the believers. And I told the young people yesterday, we need them to be examples because in many ways, the adults are not being good examples. And we need somebody in the church that will be a good example. And Paul goes on and says, be a good example in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Be an example to all of the believers. Show them how to live for Christ. He even gives them the list. He tells them to teach by the way they talk. That's what he means when he says in word. He tells them to teach with their life by the conversation or by the things they do and by the attitude that they do it with. He tells them to teach by their love, by their charity, to teach by their faith. In other words, to show the adults, to show everyone else what it means to live by faith. And we already know the just shall live by faith. That's not an option. We will live by faith. He tells them to live in purity. And folks, if we ever need purity, we need it today. Our world is so rotten. Our churches are so rotten. We don't even know what purity is. We watch filth on TV, on the computer. We listen to it on the radio. We read the books and the magazine. We don't have much of an idea anymore what purity is. But Paul told Timothy to be an example in purity. And we can even take that a step further and be an example in integrity. Doing the right thing simply because it is the right thing to do. As I was studying for this message, a young man up at New Sulphur came back to my mind, and he's been here, his mom and dad's been here several times, Rick and Lisa Gregg, that had been here, their son Derek. At a very early age, 8 or 9, 10 years old, he really started to get a desire to serve God, to grow, and to do the things that he should do. He decided, I'll give you one example, he decided that he wanted to play the guitar. And he used to get up in front of the congregation, and folks, he was horrible. I love the boy to death, but he was horrible. He used to shake so bad that he was literally shaking like this, and he wasn't really strumming the guitar. It was just the nerves hitting the strings. And I don't even know what to compare it to. It was bad. But guess what? He kept getting up there and kept getting up there. Kept overcoming his fears. In spite of his fear, he would get back up there, and he would start to give a little testimony before, and he was get better on his practicing, and he kept working at it and kept working at it and kept working at it. And today, he is a very godly young man, 23 years old, very active in the youth work in his church, and can play the guitar like you would not believe. God has blessed him. But he had to keep getting up there. He had to keep persisting. And I don't know that it ever happened, but I'm sure as bad as he was, somebody had to come up to him and say, you know, Derek, maybe guitar playing's not your thing. I'm sure somebody tried to discourage him, but guess what? He did not let them despise his youth. And God blessed him for his persistence. So young people, if you've got a heart to do something, keep doing it. Keep practicing. Keep becoming better until you do get good at it, because you definitely do have something very, very, very special to offer to the church. Do your best right now. And that's not always going to be your best. I was over at Jody Maness's the other day looking at his taxidermy stuff, and Jody's good. If you've ever seen his stuff, he's really good. And I asked him about something up here in the corner. He said, well, that's some of the stuff I did in the very beginning. He said, I used to think that was good. Now I hide it in the corner. He's gotten better, hadn't he? As we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and keep getting up, and it doesn't have to be something up front. It may be something behind the scenes. But keep using your talents and your skills and your abilities for the Lord, and you will get better. Now, we as a church, we have a responsibility to help them learn and to grow. And we have a lot of great things, and I'm going to name off some of those here in a moment, but we always need to be looking for ways that we can help minister to our youth and help them to grow and help them to increase. Because, folks, we have no more important ministry in this church than to our young people. I forget the exact percentage. I think it's 85 or 86% of people that are saved between the ages of 4 and 14. That makes youth ministry paramount in our church. And parents, let me share this with you. If you have kids in that age range, they need to be here every single time the doors are open. They need to be involved in every program you can get them in. Getting them saved is a whole lot more important than softball, soccer, band, anything. I'm not against those other things, but there's nothing more important than getting those young people in your household saved. And we as a church have a responsibility to help you. And we have a very good Sunday school program. And Sunday school teachers, if you have a class, I hope you realize the opportunity that you've been given. Yes, I understand they can be brats. But I was talking to one of the teachers earlier this morning, and I said, isn't it amazing when you don't think they're listening? They really are. And she said, yes, it is amazing, and they really do listen. So if you've got a Sunday school class, that's a great opportunity. Our CTS program, the Christian Training Service program that we have, that Sister Jackie heads up, what an opportunity to see our young people grow. Everything from Bible memorization to singing to art, to all sorts of music to computers. There's a wide variety. There's something your young people are going to want to do in there, and we need to get them involved in that. That is, in my opinion, one of the best programs ever designed by anybody, anywhere. And, of course, we have other things like our youth night where they can come up here and do their presentations for us. We have Vacation Bible School that helps teach our young people. We have our Wednesday night youth services. And to me, that is one of the most important services. When Diane and I were doing the youth ministry, we saw more fruit come out of our Wednesday night service than we did anything else that we did. But we got to teach the young people what they were dealing with. And we got to basically deal with them one-on-one. If we could see somebody's having a problem, we could tell and we'd get with them and we'd minister to them. So that Wednesday night service is crucial to helping them to grow. And then one thing I want to encourage parents to do, every year in July, The Free Will Baptist has a national youth conference. Folks, that's like a week-long revival just for the youth. It's right along with our national association, same location, usually same building, maybe the building next to it. We adults go to the national association, and that youth conference is so powerful that if they will let me in, I will go to it. And when I say if they'll let me in, they are usually so packed they won't let you in unless you are the specific youth minister. But that is a powerful place to take your young people. And yes, it does cost some money to get there. If you need to, take it as your vacation to get your young people in that type of environment. It will definitely help them. And young people, if you will apply all of the things that we've talked about this morning, you can increase in grace and in knowledge. You can grow in the Spirit. You can increase in your Bible knowledge. You can be an example to others. You can overcome your fears. And God can use you to do some of the most amazing, incredible things that you never, ever, ever dreamed. God's used me in ways that I could never fathom. Through Him helping me disciple men, I look at the different ones that have become preachers and deacons, and here at Center Point, we've got some men that have become very strong in their faith because of it. And I could never fathom that. And I've been reconnected with a young man. He's up in his 40s now. Last time I saw him, he was a teenager. He was part of that Faith Free World Baptist youth group. He was one of the younger ones. His dad died during that period. He was kind of unstable. He could have gone either way. But I've reconnected with him here recently on the internet through Facebook. And I got to ask him, he said, "Richie, what are you doing?" And he said, "Well, I'm a youth minister in a church. During the youth services, we average about 600. I'm like, "Wow. God took little Richie and grew him up and now has him ministering to 600 kids at once." Folks, we could have somebody like that in our church. We could have another Paul in our church, or another Peter, or another Timothy. We don't know. Every one of our young people has something special to offer. And you may never be a youth minister of 600 people. But whatever it is that God calls you to do, that's special because it's His calling on your life. And I believe it was Brother Johnny this morning said, "Don't compare yourself to anybody else." And that's true. I can't compare myself to Johnny or Richie or his brother Danny. Danny pastors a church of over 1,000 people. That's not my calling. I have to compare myself to what God's called me to. You have to compare yourself to what God's called you to. And you definitely do have something very special. And I'm encouraging you this morning to be very proactive in growing for the Lord. And I can promise you, God will bless you for it. Let's stand and let's sing. Let's pray first. Father, we come before you. I thank you so much for all of the examples in your word of the young people that you've used. And I thank you, Father, for showing us that we have something very special to offer to you, and that you would give us a desire to grow in grace and to grow in knowledge, and that as we grow in favor, that you would lead us and show us exactly what your will for our lives is. And God, I just pray that out of the group of young people we have here at Center Point, that you would call preachers and deacons and missionaries and Sunday school teachers and strong lay people to be an active part of this church. And I thank you, Father, for what you're going to do. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.